everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and today we're going to be talking bounce back candidates. I've got a great guest on. It's Frank Stanfill of Sports Grid TV Network. You can follow him on Twitter at @Roto_Frank. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Frank also finished among the top three most accurate experts in Fantasy Pro's yearly competition, so you're going to want to pay close attention to what he has to say today. Frank, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. Thanks for having me. Excited fantasy baseball getting ready to start up here. Spring training is up and going. We got games starting up soon as well. We all need it because we've had about enough Houston Astros talk as we could possibly get, so I'm excited about spring training. How are you doing, man?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I'm doing great because baseball's coming up. March Madness is coming up. NFL Draft is coming. This is my favorite time of the year. I'm super pumped, and I'm glad you don't want to talk about the Astros because I'm sick of it. We're actually getting some injury news rolling in. Miles Mikolas might be headed to the shelf for the St. Louis Cardinals, and for me, that gets me super pumped about the potential of Alex Reyes joining the Cardinals rotation. Is this somebody that you want to attack in the later rounds at this point, Frank?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? There's nothing but upside, and his ADP, I would have to imagine, is basically non-existent. So
it's free. Yeah, you can get him in the last round, and if he doesn't work, so what? You cut him.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing but upside. So even if you play in an NL only, I mean, I feel like this is a target you could look at, or even a 15-team mixed league, whatever it might be, as a last-round flyer. I think it makes a lot of sense. The guy has just been ravaged by injury. We know that the upside is there deep down within somewhere. He just hasn't been able to put it all together. I think that call makes a lot of sense. Looking at their rotation right now, they need some help, man. This Cardinals team is not a pretty one, just looking at their roster resource page.
I'm a Cardinals fan, and I totally agree.
Sorry, man.
No, you're right. We need Carlos Martinez and or Alex Reyes to be healthy for and in the rotation for a full season. That'd be awesome. The whole NL Central is terrible, though. But anyway, we're going to be talking some bounce back candidates. And here's what we're going to do today, okay? We're going to be counting down our top 10 from the top. So why don't you go ahead and start us? Who is your number 10 bounce back candidate, Frank?
Yeah, let's stay in the National League Central with Mitch Keller. I have a few Pittsburgh Pirates on this list. That's some foreshadowing for you guys. But
I love the prospects, man. Let's do this, baby.
Absolutely. And there's so many of these prospects that are going later in drafts. It seems like Mitch Keller, Brendan McKay, Griffin Canning, just take your pick. My pick is going to be Mitch Keller, former second round pick with the Pittsburgh Pirates. The prospect pedigree is obviously there. He was great in his minor league career. 539 and a third innings pitched, 3.12 ERA, a 1.16 whip, 566 strikeouts. Last year in the majors, he cup of tea with the Pittsburgh Pirates, 11 starts, an ERA over 7. But the underlying numbers look a little bit better than that, obviously. 3.47 xFIP. He had a 60% left on base rate, which is just way below league average. He had a 4.75 batting average on balls in play. League average is around 300 as well.
Oh, you don't think that's going to keep up, Frank?
No, I don't think the 475 BABIP is going to keep up this upcoming season. I like what I saw in terms of the strikeout upside, over 12 Ks per 9. He's got a fastball, curveball, slider mix. He barely uses a changeup. And what I really like that I saw from him is he got sent down to the minors, and he came back up later on in the season. And his final 8 starts, it looked like he started to figure things out a little bit more. He lowered the walks per 9. The strikeouts actually went up even more. The swinging strike rate went up. The chase rate went up. First pitch strike percentage. These are all skill indicators that I look at when it comes to starting pitchers, especially young starting pitchers. And look, a lot of these prospects come up and their first time around, they don't necessarily succeed. Blake Snell comes to mind as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mitch Keller has a ton of upside. He's someone that I'm targeting late in all my drafts. You don't even have to depend on him as a starter. You could just get him as a bench pitcher and you know, anything from there on out, kind of like what we were saying about Alex Reyes, it's all upside. It's free upside there. So Mitch Keller, definitely someone I'm looking at here to bounce back in 2020.
How many times have we seen these kids who struggle when they come up and they end up just being dominant right away? Mitch Keller's got that kind of pedigree, former top 20 overall prospect. You don't see that very often with pitchers, maybe 3 or 4 of those guys per season. He's got great stuff. No competition for innings in Pittsburgh. He's in a great ballpark. I mentioned the NL Central is a little bit weak. And this is what I'm looking at, okay, Frank? So his ADP, that's the average draft position for those of you guys listening. And we take a consensus of the ADP at Fantasy Pros, okay? His ADP is 251. So basically, very end of the draft. His ECR, which is the expert consensus rankings, we've got 40 analysts around the industry. I mentioned we do that accuracy competition that Frank finished third in. We've got that competition, and we take all of the rankings from that competition and say, this is what the experts around the industry think as a whole. And they've got Mitch Keller at 215, a full 36 spots higher. And when you see that, it tells you, hey, the general public's missing something on this guy. He's actually really dang good.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense as well. I've seen some people have him ranked as a top 50 starting pitcher. That might be a little bit too optimistic for me. I'm inside my top 60 for sure, but he is someone that if he can get the innings, I don't see why there would be any restriction on him. Assuming health, I could see him pitching 150, 160 innings this year, maybe even more than that. And I think that they're going to be pretty damn good innings as well. So I'm very excited about Mitch Keller. He has to improve that command a little bit more, have some more confidence in his stuff. We know the strikeout ability is there. I'm 100% with you. It just seems, based on his ADP right now, that Fantasy Pros 251 ADP you mentioned, just seems like a steal right now for Mitch Keller. I'm buying back in.
Mitch Keller already threw over 150 last year, so he's shown that he can be a durable guy. I like the call a lot. I'm going to get to my first one here in just a second, but I want to tell you guys about something really cool we have on our website. In fact, this is how I found Fantasy Pros. It's because I was looking for something like this, and I was so pumped when I realized it was real. It's our Draft Wizard. You can go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard, and there we've got a cheat sheet creator. So you can specialize it just for your league. Does your league use a bunch of different weird settings? Well, we can tell you exactly what the ranking should be based on that expert consensus. And based on your league settings, it's catered to your league. And you can even import your rankings from anywhere on the web, a spreadsheet. It's just super easy to use. And it's really useful because you can buy multiple expert rankings. You can choose your four or five favorite experts. And then you can import those rankings into the draft simulator, which is what I was mentioning, and the draft assistant tools as well. Now, you've got to be a premium user to use this so that you can edit your rankings through a simple drag and drop interface, create tiers, import and edit player notes. You can check it out at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. All right, so my first name is also a rookie pitcher. Now, this guy's built a little bit more like Randy Johnson. AJ Puck, you probably knew who I was talking about. He's a 6'7" string bean lefty with killer strikeout stuff. And the thing with AJ Puck is, yeah, he missed some time last year because of injury, but he was absolutely dynamic before then. This is a guy with killer stuff, and the A's say he's likely going to start the year in the rotation. Now, like Chris Paddock last year, it may only end up being 140 innings. But that should be 140 innings with 160 strikeouts and nice ratios as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the call on AJ Puck. You look at the minor league career, 3.98 ERA, 262 strikeouts and 183 innings pitched.
It's stupid.
That's just ridiculous when it comes to AJ Puck. And there was a report last week. I don't know how much you can buy into this report, but they said both AJ Puck and Jesus Luzardo are not going to be on innings limits. Again, I don't know that I'm buying it, but it gives you some more optimism going into the season. They also announced he's going to start their first spring training game this weekend, so definitely something to look forward to. Pay attention to how he does throughout the spring, but looks like he's going to have a rotation spot, and based on everything we've seen in the minor leagues, the strikeout upside is absolutely legit.
Good ballpark for a pitcher. He's going to get some wins in front of that lineup. I'll tell you what, the Astros are definitely going to run away with the AL West. But the A's, they've got to be a favorite to get the wild card, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And you look, I wouldn't even put the Astros out there as that big of a favorite. I know the betting odds are going to tell you that, but there's going to be a lot going on with that team. And look, we've heard it all offseason. We've heard it all spring training. Cody Bellinger has comments. Aaron Judge has comments. I don't want to go into any of that. Obviously, it's just been very frustrating to just hear this stuff all along. But I think the Oakland A's are going to be able to compete with this Astros team. I think that there's a mental aspect here that is going to come into play with the Houston Astros. They're incredibly talented. There's no doubt about it. I have some concern about the back end of the Astros rotation as well. I'm saying if you're a betting man, Bobby, throw a little wager out there on the Oakland A's to win this division. It would not surprise me.
What is it, like 5-1 at this point? And they add their three best pitchers, Luzardo, Puck, and Manaea, in that order, I would imagine. I don't know, Frankie Montas was really dang good last year, but they've got four solid pitchers, and their lineup is awesome as well. This is a good, good ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the odds over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 340 to win the division right now. So you're getting them at pretty good odds there as well. So I have to agree with you. I love Frankie Montas this upcoming season as well. I mean, if he can stay healthy for 160, 170 innings pitched, I think that he can give you near ace type stuff. So don't sleep on the Oakland A's, man. I'm with you on AJ Puck, and I think they have an opportunity here to make some noise in the AL West.
All right, let's move on to number 9, and I'm really excited about my number 9, so don't steal him.
I have Didi Gregorius with the Philadelphia Phillies this upcoming season, and reunited with Joe Girardi I think that we're going to get closer to the Didi Gregorius we saw back in 2017 and 2018. Obviously, last year, he suffered an elbow injury in January. He only played 82 games last season and still managed to put together 16 home runs and 61 RBIs. Career-low 237 BABIP last year led to a career-low, a five-year low, 238 batting average. StatCast expected batting average had Didi at a 247. He's a career 264 hitter, so I would expect him to bounce back to the 250 to 260 range, which is not great. He's not going to help you in the batting average department, but that's not what you want him for. You want him for some power, some home runs, some RBIs, some runs scored, especially hitting in the middle of that Phillies lineup. They have him projected to bat fifth right now behind Rhys Hoskins there, so obviously going to have a lot of RBI opportunities. He doesn't strike out much, a 14% strikeout rate in his career, and if you were worried about Yankee Stadium, you shouldn't be. I actually looked this up on Fantasy Pros. Yes, I'm going to give you guys the plug, 100%. The Fantasy Pros Park Factors has Citizens Bank Park as the fourth best left-handed home run power hitting park in 2019. Yankee Stadium was seventh. So if you had any concern over Didi Gregorius leaving Yankee Stadium and moving over to Citizens Bank, it's still a really good ballpark for left-handed power. And again, just hitting in the middle of that lineup, you're not expecting stolen bases out of him. You know, 250 to 260 hitter, but I think he can give you 25 home runs and probably 80-plus runs, 80-plus RBIs. And this guy's going super late. You can get him as your middle infielder. You don't even need him as your starting shortstop. So I like the bounce-back opportunity here for Didi Gregorius.
This is another guy who ECR has a full round ahead of ADP, so he's a good value. Our consensus projections have him at a 260 batting average, and last year he hit 16 homers in half a season. I mean, guys, that's a prorated pace of 30 bombs, and I agree, the ballpark factor, I helped design that algorithm to build the ballpark factors, so, you know, I agree, Philadelphia is great for left-handed batters. My number nine, and this is the guy that I'm super pumped about. I want him on every single team. I'm not even thinking about drafting a first baseman until super late because I know I can get Justin freaking Smoke. Justin Smoke was phenomenal last year with the StatCast data. I mean, he had a rough season hitting 22 homers in 121 games. That's still like a 30 homer pace. Yeah, did he bat 208? StatCast tells us that his expecting batting average was closer to that 240, 250 range that we're used to seeing under Justin Smoke. If you can get me 240 with 35 bombs, he gets a ballpark upgrade to Miller Park. 35 bombs, 240 at this price, ADP 399. I'm taking him in the second to last round because I'm taking James Karinchak in the very last round, relief pitcher for Cleveland. But Justin Smoke all day, baby. Give me that first baseman right at the end of my draft.
Yeah, I love that call as well. You can get him as a corner infielder. You can get him as a utility bat late as well.
Even a bench guy. Like, he hit 38 bombs in 2017.
Yeah, let's not forget about that. I mean, the guy has the pop. There's no doubt. And Miller Park, one of the better hitting ballparks for left-handed power. Of course, Justin Smoke is a switch hitter, but does more of his power hitting from the left-handed side of the plate. There was a report that came out that Craig Counsell revealed Ryan Braun and Avi Garcia are going to split time in right field, so that opens up even more playing time.
Oh, no. Can we just play Avi Garcia every day, please?
That would be great. I wish Ryan Braun, you know, as the thing is with Ryan Braun, he's actually been pretty good from a fantasy perspective, as much as we want him to go away.
Oh, he's been great. Yeah, I want them both to play every day. That'd be awesome.
That would be great if we could just get Avi Garcia in there, Ryan Braun, and Justin Smoke, but it seems like Smoke is going to see majority of the playing time there at first base, and you hit it on the head with the StatCast stat. I mean, 250 expected batting average last year. The guy hit 208. There's no doubt going to be some positive regression for him this upcoming season. I love that call as a corner infielder utility. Either way, I think there's great value to be had with Justin Smoke.
He was one of the most unlucky batters in all of baseball last year, according to Baseball Savant, which is what tracks that expected batting average data. And you used a term, positive regression. I want my listeners to know, now most of you guys do because you guys have been listening for a while, but regression isn't always negative. Regression is to the mean, and the mean is the expected data. There's a higher correlation with expected batting average than there is with actual batting average, because we're looking at the quality of contact to say, based on the quality of contact, what kind of batting average does that typically deliver? Because 500 at bats, what, you know, Justin Smoke had 400, that's a small sample size. You need 1500 for the data to normalize, and you can't get that in a full season. So what we can look at is the actual, you know, quality of contact and discover that, hey, Justin Smoke's still a 250 hitter.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at that quality of contact, 90.3 mile per hour average exit velocity, that was his highest since 2016. That was not the year that he hit 30 home runs. It was back in 2017. But his average exit velocity last year was better than the year that he actually hit the 38 home runs. And that's higher than league average as well. So again, you go back to the quality of contact. It was up there for Justin Smoke last year. The dude was just completely, completely unlucky in Toronto, and hopefully could turn it around here with Milwaukee.
So for your number eight, we've got somebody on, they flipped teams. Justin Smoke went from Toronto to Milwaukee. Travis Shaw went from Milwaukee to Toronto. I'm assuming that you think he bounces back towards that, you know, 31, 32 homers he had in 2017, 2018?
Yeah, and I don't think that these guys are completely dissimilar. You mentioned that they swapped spots, and it's a really good ballpark to hit in Toronto as well with Rogers Center. It's a good lineup. We're all excited about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and Lourdes Gurriel. And hitting behind all of those players is going to be Travis Shaw in the middle of that lineup. He completely bottomed out last year. I can't defend what happened with him last season with Travis Shaw outside of the fact that he was dealing with a wrist injury. Maybe that was something that plagued him all season long.
Kill your season, yeah.
Yeah, he went on the IL in May with that, so it seems like that's something that basically affected his production all year long. But from 2017 to 2018, that two-year span, his average season was a .258 batting average, 31.5 homers, 78.5 runs, 93.5 RBI, and 7.5 steals. So he'll even chip in a few bags there for you as well. He has really good plate discipline in terms of the walk rate, 10.5% career walk rate. So that'll make him play well in a points league, in an OBP format, whatever you might play in. He's not going to give you a great batting average. We know that. The floor is low. There's no doubt. I mean, we saw that last year. But I do expect that if he's healthy this upcoming season, I think him and Justin Smoke are similar players. I mean, you're expecting a .250 batting average, close to 30 home runs. And if, you know, he stays healthy in the middle of that lineup, you're going to get really good run production as well. So I think they're very similar players and both targets of mine at that corner infield utility spot.
Both ADP in the same exact round as well. He's another one of these players. You look on Baseball Savant, his expected WOBA was 30 points higher than his actual WOBA, so he's due for that positive regression as well. I like the Travis Shaw call. We haven't had any disagreements here. Let's see if I can change your mind. Chris Archer is my number eight. What do you think about this one, Frank?
Yeah, so I was all over Chris Archer last year because it was the lowest that his ADP ever was. So you were getting him as, you know, barely a top 30 starting pitcher, going anywhere in the, you know, 8 through 10 round range, and he just completely burned me. I will say,
he was horrible.
Late in the season, he turned it around, like the final couple.
Well, by the time you dropped him, right?
Yeah, exactly. By the time you dropped him.
He's going in the 29th round now, though.
Yeah, so that's exactly it, right? Like, he's free. And we know that the strikeouts, if nothing else, the strikeouts are going to be there. We saw the strikeout to walk ratio in the second half of the season really improved. And I know, you know, Ray Searidge, for years, we would point to Ray Searidge, the former Pirates pitching coach, as someone who could take on these reclamation projects. And he got the most out of guys like AJ Burnett, and he got the most out of guys like Francisco Liriano. But he also goes with a heavy fastball sinker approach. Chris Archer's fastball is not a good one. He needs to throw his slider more. He needs to develop that changeup.
He did at the end of the year. I don't know if he started ignoring Ray Searidge or Ray Searidge was like, dude, just be yourself. Like, and he got out of the way because at the end of the year, Archer was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm hoping that, you know, with Ray Searidge being gone, they're bringing a new pitching coach in Oscar Marin, that, you know, they can improve that slider usage, maybe even improve the changeup just in general. He does not have a good fastball, so he's got to use that slider more, and we saw that more in the second half. So he burned me last year, but based on how cheap he is, I will have a few shares of Chris Archer just because, you know, he's going so late. He's free.
Right. I'm not banking on him being the man, but there's a chance, right? If there's even a 20% chance, we've got a top 30 starting pitcher. And I think that's about right. A 25-30% chance that Chris Archer returns to being a top 30 starting pitcher. That's someone you want to take in the last round. And so what? You'll find out really soon if Chris Archer is the same Chris Archer of last year. And if he returns to the 240 strikeout guy, dude, you've got a super steal. His ADP 348 overall. ECR 225. That's a 10-round swing, experts compared to the general public. This is somebody that the industry just loves, Frank.
Yeah, I cannot dispute with Chris Archer. I mentioned I have Mitch Keller as somebody I like as a bounce-back candidate. I have another Pirates pitcher coming up. So,
all right, three of them so far.
By default, I am a Pirates fan this upcoming season. Let's go, Pirates.
Who is your actual team? You live in New York. Are you a Mets fan?
No. I'm a Yankees fan.
So. Oh, okay. It seems like everyone who comes on our podcast is a Mets fan. I just feel so bad for him, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. I've been a Yankees fan my whole life. It's not going to change.
Right. So you're going with Joe Musgrove. I think this is a great call. He's got plenty of upside as well.
Yeah, I'm going with Joe Musgrove here. You mentioned Chris Archer. I like Mitch Keller as well. Let's just keep it going with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Joe Musgrove, he let a lot of people down. Somebody that I was in on last year as well. Put up an ERA over 4, a 1-2-2 whip.
I'll take that whip, though, if he can repeat that whip.
That's the thing, is he's a good command pitcher, so, you know, he has upside for that whip to be even better. I mean, I think he could get it, you know, sub 120. And the skills are still really good, though. 12% swinging strike rate, 35% chase rate, 65% first pitch strike percentage. Again, these are indicators that I like to look at a lot. I want to see which pitchers are getting whiffs. I want to see who's getting opposing batters to chase. I want to see who's establishing strikes early on in the count as well. So I looked into this, and amongst qualified starting pitchers in 2019, with at least a 34% chase rate, 64% first pitch strike percentage, and 12% swinging strike rate, basically top 20 in all of these categories, you had Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, Justin Verlander, Shane Bieber, Clayton Kershaw, Matt Boyd, and Joe Musgrove. So that's pretty good company to be part of.
That's a great group.
Yeah, so I'm buying back in on Joe Musgrove. I can't let it go. His final four starts, the final month of the season, it's an extremely small sample size. I realize that. The fastball velocity went up to 94 miles per hour that final month. He used his curveball 8 percentage points more. The swinging strike rate over his final four starts, 16%. It was just massive. I think everyone at that point just said, screw it, we're not listening to Ray Searidge. We're just going to throw our slider. We're going to throw our curveball. And as a result, Joe Musgrove got really, really good results over that final 4 months. I'm hoping that that can carry over into this season, and if it does, it wouldn't surprise me if he can return, you know, top 30 starting pitcher value this season.
He's got two really great pitches. He's always had a lot of upside. Hasn't quite delivered yet, but I mean, back in 2018, he was really good. Now, I've got a guy who was really good back in 2018 and 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, 2013. He was an all-star for 6 consecutive years, and all of a sudden he misses a year, and we're not drafting him in the top, you know, 14 rounds. If I'm not getting JT Realmuto falling to me in the 7th round, I'm taking Salvador Perez in the 15th round every single time.
Yeah, and I love this call as well. This reminds me a lot of Jose Abreu from last year. So Jose Abreu was great basically every season. He got injured in 2018, and then his price just plummeted last year for no reason. I mean, he's the player he always is.
Like, is he going to be a totally different player? Of course not.
No, there's no way.
I mean, Yoenis Cespedes might be because he's old and he's been not playing for like 4 years, but this is a 1 year thing.
Yeah, I agree when it comes to Salvador Perez. He's coming off the Tommy John surgery. We've seen hitters do this before. Gleyber Torres has had Tommy John surgery, and he's been just fine. You know that Salvador Perez is an Iron Man. He's going to get on the field, 471 or more at-bats in 6 straight seasons before last year when he got hurt. I actually think having the year off is going to help his body because the guy was just taking a beating for so long. He had 4 straight seasons of 21 or more home runs before the injury as well. Career 266 hitter. I'm with you 100%. When it comes to Salvador Perez, he's not good in OBP format, so keep that in mind. But if you play in a standard 5x5 roto or head-to-head categories with batting average or even a points league, he's fine. But just keep in mind, his OBP is not going to be great. I think he's still safe for, you know, close to 25 home runs at 260 batting average.
He's going 50 picks after Mitch Garver. How do you feel about that?
So I actually like Mitch Garver a lot.
I don't mind him. I mean, he was awesome last year.
But that seems like a great value. You're right. That tells me that Salvador Perez should probably be going closer to Mitch Garver this upcoming season. Mitch Garver, someone, if you look at his StatCast page, I mean, it's just a sea of red. The guy is just, he makes phenomenal contact.
What in the world happened there? He turned into a superstar, man. I don't know if it keeps up.
Yeah, he was great in the... He had a great minor league season once where he hit, like, over 20 home runs and really started to slug, but that whole Minnesota Twins team, I mean, from Nelson Cruz, Miguel Sano, they just figured something out there, and I think Mitch Garver also figured out whatever they're doing, and I expect him to hit 25 home runs again this upcoming season. It wouldn't surprise me if Mitch Garver actually outperforms Gary Sanchez. That's one of my hotter takes here early in the draft season.
Oh, wow, that would be sweet. Yeah, Gary Sanchez has some batting average problems for sure. He's got a lot of upside, but man, he's been a disappointment. It seems like every year you draft him. Now, the next guy on your list here is Justin Upton. This is a name that I was planning on putting on my list until I saw your list, and I was like, okay, I'm not just going to name the same guy twice, but I thought about doing it anyway, because how easy is this one, right, Frank?
It's just so easy. And we've already got a best shape of his life report here with Justin Upton. So,
oh, man. And he was jacked.
He's already jacked, right? And now apparently he's in the best shape of his life. So we're going to get a bunch of those reports. When asked about it, Angels GM Billy Epler had this to say: "I haven't laid my eyes on him yet, but a couple of the coaches said, wait till you see him. Sounds like he's almost a prize fighter or something like that." So, look, I didn't need extra motivation to draft Justin Upton, but I will certainly take it. Coming off a season where he was just derailed by knee injuries all of last year, before 2019, his three-year average season was .258 batting average, 32 home runs, 87 runs scored, 94 ribbies, and 10 stolen bases. He's projected to bat fifth behind Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, and Shohei Ohtani. I mean, what more can you possibly ask for? The one thing I will say, much better in a roto format. If you look at his monthly production throughout his career, the guy is all over the place. It's like a roller coaster. So if you're playing a head-to-head league, you're not going to get much consistency out of him. But at the end of the season, you know the numbers are going to be there. He's a better roto play and someone that I'm buying in as, you know, my third or fourth outfielder this upcoming season.
And even before last year, he stole 8-plus bases every single year. I mean, this isn't just a three-category guy. The batting average is not going to be great. Projected at 243. I've got a little higher in that 255 range. But yeah, 25 homers is a lock. 80 RBIs is a lock for Justin Upton. And you're getting him how cheap? ADP 219. This is another guy, 40 spots higher in ECR. And I'll tell you what, I was talking to Jen Piacanti of Fantasy Alarm earlier this week. And if you're in a draft with her, you better take Justin Upton like five rounds too early just to make sure she doesn't take him. Because there's a lot of people around the industry who love Justin Upton.
I'm happy you actually let me in on that information here, Bobby, because I take place in, I'm in a 15-team roto auction with Jen Piacentia as well, so I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to bitter up a little bit on Justin Upton. Thank you for the inside information.
You're welcome for that. All right, let's see here. So you said Justin Upton at number six. I've got another outfielder, and this is a guy who could finish, I'm not exaggerating, I think as a top 15 outfielder. Now, I'm not expecting it. It also depends on playing time because Josh Reddick's ahead of him. But if Kyle Tucker ends up getting 500 at-bats, I mean, the dude's going to hit 30 homers and 20 steals with a solid batting average. He was a super prospect. And yeah, he hasn't been great in a small sample size in the majors. But remember what Mike Trout did when he first came up? What does Mike Trout look like? Now, I'm not saying Kyle Tucker's Mike Trout. I'm just saying when you get one of these top 10 prospects and they struggle at the start, don't give up on him.
I'm wondering if we're ever going to find a player that we don't agree on here, Bobby, because I agree with you on Kyle Tucker here. Reminds me a little bit of Austin Meadows from last year. It wouldn't surprise me if he puts together a season like that if the playing time is there for Kyle Tucker. And with Dusty Baker as the manager, traditionally Dusty Baker has relied on veteran-type players, but it's hard to argue with what Kyle Tucker did in the final stretch of the season. Just 22 games, but showed you that power speed, 4 home runs, 5 stolen bases, and he actually handled himself against lefties. That's what I really like to see. As a left-handed batter, he hit .296 with an .840 OPS against left-handed pitching. So that gives me confidence in Kyle Tucker that he can play against both sides of the plate and not be platooned as well. So reminds me a little bit of Austin Meadows. I think if he got the playing time, he could put together a breakout season similar to what Austin Meadows did last year.
Pretty similar. I think he's got more power and a little less batting average than Austin Meadows, but that's a dang good comparison. Let's move on to your number five, and this is one where we will finally disagree. It's Rhys Hoskins. I was super low on him last year. Even at ADP now, I'm not really loving it. How much better do you think he will be this year, though?
The thing for me when it comes to Rhys Hoskins is, based on the ADP that I've seen, Max Muncy is going like far ahead of Rhys Hoskins, and I don't think that they're dissimilar. I'll even put Rhys Hoskins in. He's not going to do what Pete Alonso did last year, but I expect some negative regression for Pete Alonso, and I think based on where you're getting Rhys Hoskins, I think you could get somewhat similar production. Over the last three seasons, Rhys Hoskins' plate discipline is phenomenal. 15% walk rate. I mean, especially if you play in an OBP or a points league, I mean, Rhys Hoskins is great in those formats. And his first half last year was really, really good. .263, .401, .530 triple slash with 20 home runs and 59 ribbies. The second half just completely plummeted. .180 batting average. That was the lowest among qualified hitters. His line drive rate dipped 7%. His fly ball rate ballooned all the way to 52.5%. That's just too much. I mean, we talk about launch angle. We want players to to lift the ball at times. That was just too much lifting the ball for Rhys Hoskins. Turned into a lot of lazy fly balls. It hurt his batting average. Everything that I've seen in camp so far is he's working on a new batting stance as well. I just really like the ballpark. I like the plate discipline. I like hitting in the middle of that lineup with Bryce Harper and with Didi Gregorius as well, with Gene Segura, who I think would have fit the bill here as a bounce back candidate. I like where Rhys Hoskins is going this upcoming season. I have him just barely inside my my top 10 first baseman. I think he's coming at a great value. I expect to bounce back 250, mid-30s home runs, and close to 100 RBI, I think is a fair projection for Rhys Hoskins.
You know, this isn't one I'm going to fight anyone on. I don't think it's a bad decision to draft Rhys Hoskins. I just had to find some place to disagree with you, and this is probably the closest we'll come. So I'll say this about Rhys Hoskins, okay? In his bad season last year, he still had 86 runs and 85 RBIs, 29 homers, right? But here's what I'm seeing when you look at his StatCast data. In 2017, he was unbelievably lucky. In 2018, he was pretty lucky. In 2019, he was actually lucky too. His expected batting average was 221. His expected WOBA, 342. Here's a couple guys in the same range as Rhys Hoskins' expected WOBA. And I get it. He's got a great batting eye, so he's going to score a ton of runs. But Brian Anderson was higher than him. Mike Yastrzemski, Brad Miller were higher than him. Jay Bruce was right behind him. Garrett Cooper was right behind him. Donovan Solano, second baseman for the Giants, was right behind him. That's not great company, Frank.
Oh, well, come on. You don't like Brad Miller? He's on your St. Louis Cardinals, man.
I mean, I think it was a nice bench pickup when, you know, he's your fifth second baseman. I don't know what the heck they're doing over there. Like, just go freaking trade for Nolan Aaron. We need to stop talking about the Cardinals because they are driving me nuts. Like, our biggest expense this year was going out and signing a backup catcher. Give me a break. Like, you guys are trying to repeat in the NL Central? Go get somebody. Let's go.
Noted. Just talk about the Cardinals if you want to fire up Bobby Sylvester. look, it's hard for me to argue against the WOBA and the expected WOBA from Rhys Hoskins the past couple of seasons. He has to lower the launch angle a little bit because he just tries too hard to hit fly balls and to hit home runs. But if he can get back to that player he was in the first half, again, I'll just point to that first half where I believe in that triple slash, again, where, you know, he was phenomenal, 263 with 20 home runs in that first half. If he can be that player over the course of a full season, you know, I think we're looking at someone that can hit, you know, 35 home runs with close to 100 ribbies.
There's certainly a chance. Would it surprise me at all if he went for 110 runs, 110 ribbies, batted 260, hit 40 homers? No, he's got that in his upside for sure. But I just think 3 years in a row where he's been a little bit lucky, maybe we're a little bit overstating Rhys Hoskins. Again, I don't think he's a bad pick in the eighth, ninth round. That's not a bad ADP at all. I'll move on to my next guy. It's his teammate, Andrew McCutchen, who has just been super solid his entire career until he was hurt. And I don't know why, same kind of thing as Salvador Perez. Why would we expect anything different? He's always been this guy who bats, you know, 250, 260 with 20 plus homers, 10 plus steals, gets a bunch of runs because he's got a great eye like Rhys Hoskins. And he's in that very good Phillies lineup. So I think McCutchen, again, returns value at his ADP. He's a perennially underrated player. Andrew McCutchen at his value. What do you think, Frank?
Yeah, another one that I like here, probably better in an OBP format or a head-to-head points league, as you mentioned. 16% walk rate last year was just massive for him. He's always had a great eye at the plate. He had 10 home runs, 45 runs scored in just 59 games last year. And you look at that lineup again with the Phillies, Bryce Harper hitting behind him, Rhys Hoskins hitting behind him, Didi. I mean, if he stays healthy, McCutchen's going to be able to score 100 runs. Or
he could lead the National League in runs.
Yeah, that would not be crazy whatsoever. So I think he's someone who can, you know, hit close to 25 homers, you know, maybe swipe you 8 to 10 bags, give you a ton of runs, and again, much better in OBP and points league format. I've long loved Andrew McCutchen. Him and Justin Upton are two of my favorite players. Basically, the year I started playing fantasy baseball, 2009, I was a senior in high school, was basically the year that Andrew McCutchen was coming up from the minor league. So I've basically watched his whole entire career. He's one of my favorite players. So I'll never go against Andrew McCutchen.
He's like the best guy in the major leagues too. He's so easy to root for. And you know, with how many late round values we have, Andrew McCutchen, Ryan Braun, Avisail Garcia, there's a couple outfielders that we've mentioned this deep. You don't need to draft outfielders that early. There's just so many good values at this stage. ADP 204 for Andrew McCutchen. That's behind guys like Christian Vasquez. Like, they just signed Jonathan Lucroy. Is Christian Vasquez really going to play 120 games? That's what you need from a catcher in this range. Masahiro Tanaka, he's behind Marcus Stroman. Joe Adell might not come up until July. He's behind him. Omar Navarez. I can't believe some of the guys going ahead of Andrew McCutchen, who year in and year out is going to deliver 2010, 80-80.
Yeah, and even if you wanted to kind of take an approach where you snag one of these prospects and pair him with a McCutchen, if you wanted to take Adell and Andrew McCutchen, you can do that in, you know, back-to-back rounds or later on in your drafts while you're waiting for Joe Adell to make it to the majors. You have someone who's just steady as they come and Andrew McCutchen, and that could be a strategy for you later on in your drafts. But I agree, like, we don't even know when we're going to see Joe Adell. We know that Andrew McCutchen, while, you know, it's not exciting, it's production, and that's exactly what we're looking at this point in the draft.
On to your number four. This is a guy that burned me last year. I was all in on Blake Snell. Holy crap, he was bad.
Yeah, he was bad, and I didn't have any shares of Blake Snell, so maybe that's why I'm willing to buy the bounce back here and buy in on him.
I'm still buying it for sure, yeah. But I mean, yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, everything that happened last year, the guy dropped a piece of furniture on his toe, and it basically derailed his season. Of course, he dealt with some elbow injury later on in the year, so, you know, that's a little more crucial and, you know, important notice there over the toe injury that he suffered. But there's no doubting he was super lucky in his 2018 season in terms of BABIP. And last year, it just swung all the way the other way. I mean, he had a 241 BABIP, batting average on balls in play in 2018. He had a 343 BABIP in 2019, despite his hard hit rate actually going down last year. So he was just incredibly unlucky. The underlying skills were still phenomenal. And the first 11 starts of the season, Bobby, before he had that toe injury, a 19% swinging strike rate, 35% strikeout rate.
That's like historical, man.
it's unreal.
He struck out 12.4 per 9 innings last year.
It was ridiculous. A 306 ERA, a 2.82 xFIP as well in those first 11 starts. I mean, if he comes anywhere close to that player that he was early on in the season before he suffered that fluke toe injury, there's no doubt in my mind that he can be a top 10 pitcher, maybe even top 5 pitcher this upcoming season. You're not getting much of a discount. I would have liked more of a discount on Blake Snell, but I think people just realize that when he is on the mound on a per inning basis, on a per start basis, Blake Snell is one of the 5 or 10 best pitchers in baseball, and I'd be willing to draft him where he's going right now in that, you know, third, fourth round range.
End of the third round, ADP 36. That's where he is ECR as well. I think he's a good value there. I'm probably not going to have many shares just because Chris Sale's going in the same spot. And if I'm deciding between the two, I'm going Chris Sale all day. But I do love me some Blake Snell. I've got a story, actually. When I first got into the industry, the very first article I wrote was a prospects article. And I was hyping up this kid, Blake Snell. I was super pumped about him. But I didn't call him Blake Snell. I called him Ian Snell. And Blake wrote me an email and told me to fix it. And I felt so embarrassed. That was a wake-up call.
Is that a true story?
It's a true story, man.
Blake Snell emailed you?
Yeah, he emailed the mailbag and...
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Was like, dude, this guy doesn't even know my name and he's writing about me? Like, what's going on here? It was really embarrassing. But anyway, Blake Snell was minor league pitcher of the year and then came up and dominated. He's the man.
That is a crazy story. I mean, I could see how you can kind of get it mixed up. We don't have a lot of players with the last name Snell. And of course, there was a former major leaguer with the name Ian Snell. So
yeah, like 25 years ago.
Right.
All right, let's keep moving on. Let's see. That was your number four with Blake Snell. And I love the call. Mine is, oh man, do I even want to say this? This is embarrassing. Every year I keep going back to Byron Buxton, former number one overall prospect. He's a guy that if he can finally stay healthy, I don't know how many years I've been saying this, but if you listen to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, we kept saying, if Devontae Parker finally stays healthy, this guy's really good. If Byron Buxton finally stays healthy, this guy's really good. Every single year, you know, he's on that pace for 15, 20 homers, 25, 30 steals. He's got a decent batting average. And I think he's got upside for a lot more. This is a former number one overall prospect, ADP 167. This is a guy ECRs again, one round higher on. Are you taking a chance that he explodes for that 15-25 season? Or are you just staying away because of all of the injury problems every year?
I want to go back to Byron Buxton. I'm with you here, man. And you're getting no discount because he's basically going similar to where he was going last year when a lot of people once again touted him as a breakout candidate. Shout out to Matt Modica on Twitter, a great fantasy baseball player at CTM Baseball on Twitter. He pointed out that before the All-Star break last year, Byron Buxton and Starling Marte were nearly the same player, which is just crazy if you think about it. Starling Marte is someone who's going in the third round consistently in fantasy baseball drafts, and you're getting Byron Buxton 7-8 rounds later than that. So I think we're always going to be tantalized by the upside, especially in a day and age where we're trying to find stolen bases, we're trying to find speed. It's such a scarce category right now, just in that lineup with the Minnesota Twins, where they're likely going to, you know, come close to leading the majors in runs and home runs once again. I mean, look, I'm doing it right now. Like, I didn't want to be in on Byron Buxton, but you just talk yourself into it because of that power speed upside, Bobby.
His purse at 162 game average over the last three seasons, 17 homers, 31 doubles, by the way. Those can turn into homers as his body continues to mature. 17 homers, 31 steals. Wow. Whew, it's tempting. It's really tempting.
Yeah, look, I cannot dispute when it comes to Byron Buxton. He was someone I was targeting last year, and he made all these adjustments in the offseason heading into the 2019 season. He was another one, best shape of his life last year. I hope he's still in the best shape of his life here in 2020, and hopefully could just stay healthy. That's all it comes down to for Byron Buxton.
This was the spot where I was going to use Justin Upton, by the way, and had to change him out. So if I get flack on Twitter, it's your fault, Frank.
That's fine. I can live with it. When it comes to Byron Buxton, we can live with it, man.
All right, here's another one that I'm not especially excited about. But again, at his ADP, yeah, if he falls to that range, sure, I'd snag Javier Baez.
Yeah, when it comes to Javier Baez, look, I haven't ever been in on Javier Baez. And in fact, a couple of years ago, I just completely dismissed him because of his plate discipline. Look, he continues to defy the odds.
Yeah, his BABIP every year is extraordinary. And it's like, okay, maybe this is just who he is because he hits the ball so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a few players like that where they can just outperform their underlying numbers. Marco Estrada was someone for years, just every single year would outperform his underlying numbers year in and year out. And I think Javier Baez, I've accepted it. And, you know, his plate discipline is that of like a Joey Gallo. He swings and misses that much, but look at the consistency from him. You know, from 2015 to 2019, between a 273 and 290 batting average. Last year, he was hurt. He only played 138 games, still managed to contribute in all five categories, 29 home runs, 89 runs scored, 85 ribbies, 11 stolen bases. And he was someone who was a borderline first round pick last year. And if you look at what he did in 2019, he actually improved his batted ball data on StatCast. His barrel rate was slightly up. His exit velocity went up as well. He's still just 27 years old. And I mentioned he dealt with a myriad of injuries, heel, leg, thumb injury last year as well. So if this guy enters the season healthy, I don't see any reason why he can't hit 30 home runs, give you 12 to 15 stolen bases with a 275 to 280 batting average. I've never been in on Javier Baez because I've just been a skeptic, but I finally accepted it and I'm buying the dip. I like the value that you're getting on Javier Baez this year.
I'm just going to wait and get Mondesi, man. I'm so pumped about Mondesi this year.
I'm just worried about that shoulder, man. I mean, that's just a major shoulder injury, and he heard it sliding in, you know, and he's someone who's going to run on the base pad. So, you know, unless he changes the way he slides, maybe.
Look, all I need, man, is a 320 on base percentage. Can we get a 320 on base percentage by Mondesi, please?
That might be asking too much, man. What was he, like sub-300 OBP last year?
Right, but if we get 320, dude, stealing 65 bags with 15-20 homers.
He is someone that if you're trying to find that third or fourth round player who can return first round value, if Mondesi can stay healthy, I have no doubts that he can hit 15 home runs with 50 plus stolen bases. There's no doubt in my mind. It's just how healthy is he? I think that is a massive question mark for Adalberto Mondesi.
He's definitely riskier than Javier Baez, and Javier Baez can return first round value. We've seen it before, right? If you prorate his games out to a full 162, last year 35 homers, 100 RBIs, 105 runs. Now the question is, are the stolen bases going to come back now that he's healthy? Because he had 21 just a year ago.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair question. And he dealt with those leg injuries. He dealt with a heel injury, a leg injury. And, you know, he has been caught stealing more over the past couple of seasons. So, you know, we'll see if that is something that they look at and opt to limit him for. But it's a new manager coming in with David Ross, someone that, you know, has played with Javier Baez. He knows what he's capable of. So I'm expecting no restrictions. Again, I'm not expecting him to get back to 20 stolen bases, but I think 12 to 15 is a fair projection for Javier Baez in terms of stolen bases in 2020.
And Javier Baez also came out just the other day on The Athletic and said that the Cubs just weren't ready. They weren't prepared. They kind of took the season for granted in the preparation. I think that's why Joe Maddon got replaced by David Ross. But, you know, if Javier Baez wasn't focused and he still did that, holy crap, what is going to happen in 2020? I think that's an interesting one, Javier Baez. I'm kind of talking myself into him over Mondesi at this point. So thank you for that. Hopefully it works out. My number three is Shohei Ohtani as a starting pitcher. Like, have we forgotten how dang good this guy was before he got hurt? He's one of the best starting pitchers in baseball. It's just a matter of innings. How many innings is he going to get, Frank?
That's the magic question. I wouldn't project personally for more than 130. I think that that's maxed out. They've already said that, you know, he's not going to pitch until the middle of May. And I think that makes sense because they want to make a deep run into the postseason. They got to make it to the postseason first. And I think that that's why they're opting not to use him as a starting pitcher until the middle of May so that they can have him for the end of the season in September and potentially into the postseason. But just for the regular season, I think 120 to 130 innings pitched.
But fortunately, we get to use his 30 home runs, 17 stolen bases, 286 batting average bat. That's the per 162 career average for Ohtani. That's his bat. That's a second-round bat if he played every day. We could use that the first 2 months.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And especially if you play in a head-to-head league where, you know, with a daily lineup, you get this guy in your lineup every single day as a hitter, and then when he comes back as a pitcher, I mean, his value there is just through the roof. I do think when he pitches, you're going to get 120, 130 really good innings. I'm talking like a 3.6, 3.5, 3.6 ERA with a 1.2 to 1.25 whip over a strikeout per inning. I think he's going to be really good when he pitches, but unfortunately, we do have to wait till May, and I'll put a cap on about 130 innings for Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, so he's going after a couple guys here. Frankie Montas. He's going after Madison Bumgarner, Carlos Carrasco, Zach Wheeler. Would you rather have him than any of those names? I'd rather have him than all of them except for Bumgarner.
So you know what's crazy? I'd rather have him over just Bumgarner and none of the other guys. That's why it's so fun to do this.
Well, good. We finally disagree, man.
You could talk to 10 different analysts and get a bunch of different answers. And to me, Bumgarner, it's just moving away from Oracle in San Francisco, where, you know, he's had such great numbers in his career at home in that park. And now moving over to Chase Field.
Arizona's an even better pitcher's park, though, since they...
They do have the humidor. But I am buying in on Frankie Montas. Carlos Carrasco is really a tough one for me to figure out. Just, you know, obviously everything he...
I don't know. I'm just throwing my hands up and saying someone else can draft him.
Yeah, it's a tough situation with Carrasco, but Frankie Montas, definitely someone I'm touting as a top 30 starting pitcher breakout candidate this year.
So you mentioned, you know, if you talk to 10 different experts, you're going to get 10 different answers, and that's why we use the expert consensus. And every single year, we mentioned Frank was number three in the accuracy contest in 2018. The expert consensus is in the top 10 out of 50 every single year because when you combine the experts together, they don't have those wild misses, and they tend to agree on the players, you know, that are 50 spots higher than ADP, and those end up to be more true more often than not. If you just go to the Fantasy Pros homepage and scroll, you know, right at the bottom left of your screen, you're going to see consensus rankings. You can click on that. We've got our consensus ADP. We've got our consensus ECR, and you can see the differences there. It's highlighted on the far right versus ADP, so you can see exactly what we're talking about. Okay, let's keep moving here. I had Ohtani at number three. We're down to our top two now. You've got Chris Davis at number two of the Oakland A's. You think he bounces back to that 247 batting average?
I'm hoping he can get back to that 247, up over 40 home runs once again. Last year, you know, dealt with a hip injury. He was trying to make a catch, and I believe it was Seattle, and he ran into the wall. And basically, after that injury, it plummeted his season. So before May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, actually, look at that. When it comes to Chris Davis last year, 229 batting average, lower than 247, unfortunately. 10 home runs, 26 ribbies, a 9% walk rate, a 252 ISO, 42% hard contact rate, 23% home run to fly ball ratio. And then after after that injury, a .217 batting average, just 13 home runs in the final 98 games of the season. It really affected his fly ball rate.
Wow. So he was basically Chris Davis with a C.
Yeah, and you don't want to be Chris Davis with a C. Only Chris Davis with a K. But if you do take that stretch from before May 5th and you extrapolate that over 150 games, because that's something he did in three straight seasons before last year in 2019, that would have given you 42 home runs, which is basically Chris Davis, right? We want him to hit over 40 home runs and between a .240 and .250 batting average as well. We mentioned the consistency out of him. He's 32 years old, so I guess there's a chance that he's just getting older. You have to bake that in.
Or he's Nelson Cruz. I mean, he wasn't showing any signs of slowing down until the injury.
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree. I think it was just he was slowed down by the injury. It was a hip oblique contusion. And if you look at the projections over on Fangraphs as well, the Steamer ATC projections, they agree with the bounce back on Chris Davis. And those guys are smarter than me, so I trust them.
They're pretty awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm in on Chris Davis. I think he gets back to that, you know, 35 to 40 homers with a .240+ batting average.
So I just saw his ADP, Frank, and I was trying not to interrupt you. I was freaking out, man. Like, I got to tell everybody this. His ADP is .282. What?
It's insane.
His ECR is .154, which I think is about right. Maybe a little bit low. I'd take Chris Davis in the 12th round. He's going in, what is it, the 23rd round? Holy cow.
I've done 15-team drafts so far over at the NFBC where he goes in the 14th round of a 15-team league. I mean, that is just absurd.
Dude, we're going to get 65, 70 homers out of Chris Davis and Justin Upton in the last two rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just it's great value. And you know, a lot of the value hitters that you see are going to be power hitters late in your draft. So that's why we put such an emphasis on batting average and stolen bases early in your drafts, because you'll be able to get the Justin Uptons and the Chris Davises later on, and Justin Smoke and Travis Shaw. There's so much power late in your drafts. And Chris Davis is just another example of that.
Man, I think we should just end the show there. That's the best one. That is the best. I cannot believe his ADP. That is so unbelievably stupid. Okay, my number two, this is a pitcher. I actually already mentioned his name earlier. In fact, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's just a matter of whether or not Chris Sale can stay healthy. And if he does stay healthy, I think he's got as good of a chance as anybody to win the Cy Young.
Yeah, I worry about Chris Sale, man. I mean, 31 years old, he's got that frail frame. He's kind of got that wonky delivery. He dealt with the left shoulder inflammation in July. Then he got shut down in August with the elbow. And I had a few shares of Chris Sale last year. Maybe it's because I didn't own Blake Snell that I'm willing to buy into him. But because I had shares of Chris Sale last year that I'm just kind of like throwing in the towel. But I'm scared off of Chris Sale, what I saw last year. The underlying skills were still great. The strikeout rate was great. The swinging strike rate was awesome. 14% last season for Chris Sale. But 4.40 ERA, and I watched a lot of his starts. He was just missing spots. He was leaving, you know, pitches out in the middle of the zone. Just things that you're not used to seeing at a Chris Sale. The velocity was down tremendously last year. He is someone that I could see gaining helium throughout the spring if you see the velocity back up. I mean, a lot of people say spring training doesn't matter, but you got to watch spring training here to see if Chris Sale's velo is back up. If the velo is back up, and he looks like the Chris Sale of old, I can buy into this. But before I see that velocity back up, Bobby, man, I am skeptical when it comes to Chris Sale.
That's fair, man. That's totally fair. You know, I was going to tell a lie on accident because I thought Chris Sale was the all-time leader in strikeouts per nine innings. He's number two. Randy Johnson, number three. Steven Strasburg, number four. Max Scherzer, number five. So here's your trivia question, Frank. You didn't know this was coming. I didn't either. Who's number one on the all-time list in Ks per nine?
Is it active? Is there an innings pitched minimum here?
It is an active player, and the minimum is 1,000 innings pitched.
Let's go with Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander is quite close as well. It's Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish is the all-time leader.
Yu Darv? Wow. That's, yeah, and he's someone that's that people are very excited about this upcoming year. I mean, what a second half out of Yu Darvish, right? A lot of people excited about Darvish. It's hard to complain with that, but wow, all-time leader, 1,000 innings pitched and K per nine. That is a great trivia question. Look at that.
Can you believe that, man? And I'm looking at every other player is either active or like Pedro Martinez or Randy Johnson, And then you've got Nolan Ryan in there from a long time ago. Oh, man, he was so dang good, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous. That, you know, before you even named who was number two, I was going to say, oh, it's got to be Randy Johnson, right? Hands down, nope. Yu Darvish, wow.
If you expand this down to 500 innings pitched, number one all-time, Jose Fernandez.
Oh, man. And, you know, that's really not surprising, man.
He was amazing.
Electric. So much fun to watch. I was actually going to say Blake Snell.
Yeah, Blake Snell would have been a good one, too. I don't think he's quite at 1,000, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's keep moving here. I said Chris Sale. His ADP is 35, so right around Blake Snell. For me, it's Sale. For you, it's Snell. Let's go to our number ones here. Do you want to go first or second? Do you want to end the show with yours?
Why not? Best for last, right?
Yeah, except mine's the best. And I'm going with Giancarlo Stanton, baby. 60 homers. Let's go.
You know what's crazy is, as a Yankee fan, I'm not in on any of the Yankees this year.
They're going to win like 120 games, man. How many did they win last year without Judge or Stanton or Gerrit Cole?
They were up over 100 wins last year, and you're right, they had Mike Tauchman in the lineup.
Andujar's gone too, and he's coming back. Dude, this team is nuts. This might end up being the best team in Major League Baseball history, and I'm not a Yankees fan by any stretch. I grew up a Red Sox fan. My dad's from Boston. I hate the Yankees, but this team is amazing, and they add Gerrit Cole, add Giancarlo Stanton, who, mind you, okay, I get it. He was hurt last year. Do you know how many games he missed the two previous seasons? Combined, he missed 7 games. This is a guy who hit 59 homers in Miami, the worst ballpark for right-handed hitters. He moved to New York, a top 3 ballpark for right-handed hitters. The dude could go bonkers and just win people leagues, and his ADP is 56? Are you kidding me? Dude, I'm taking him in the 3rd round. I'm not messing around.
I can see already what type of drafter you are, Bobby. You shoot for the upside, and I can't knock it whatsoever.
All aboard on the upside, baby. Let's do it.
You're either first or you're last, right? So you like Adalberto Mondesi. You like Giancarlo Stanton. Typically, I like to play it safe in the earlier rounds. I like to get my safety. I like to, you know, build my base, my production early. Later on and take guys that are typically not injured or have any injury tags on them with guys like Mondesi and Giancarlo Stanton. I agree.
So you're drafting like the boring guys like Anthony Rizzo. Is that what you're saying? Charlie Morton?
No, we've got to go more boring than that. I'm talking Jose Abreu. Like, we're talking real boring here, Bobby.
Hey, man, boring guys win championships. That's fine.
If Stanton can stay healthy, I can't argue with that point. If he plays 150 games in this lineup, in this ballpark, we saw it back in 2018, but again, the lineup has gotten even better since then. So if he stays healthy, I mean, we might see, you know, 45 to 50 homers, 270 average, 130 ribbies. I mean, that wouldn't surprise anybody. So I get the upside. If you're someone who is risk averse, that makes all the sense in the world to go out and get someone like Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, man. I'm so pumped. I'm getting him in every freaking league. And it's just like Cody Bellinger last year. It's either going to carry me to the championship or I am going to go down burning.
Yeah, I think that's a good call as well there. Just, I think he has maybe not the batting average type upside to Bellinger, but definitely that type of power upside. Again, 45 to 50 home runs with that crazy runs in RBI production in that Yankee lineup.
Yeah, dude, I wouldn't be shocked if he hit 65, man. He almost hit 60 in Miami. Okay, you're number one, and I love this one too. This one is awesome. Another one that I would have had on my list, no doubt about it. Manny Machado, what a great call.
Yeah, look, I have to, after all of that, I have to end it with a boring player here, right? And Manny Machado.
So boring, dude. And he's another guy, never misses any time, ever.
He's so, so durable. And it feels like he's been around forever. He's just going to turn 28 this upcoming season. He was a disappointment his first year with the mega deal with the San Diego Padres. 256 batting average, 32 homers, 81 runs, 85 ribbies, 5 stolen bases. And we're calling that a down year. But by Manny Machado's standards, it was a down year. We've seen it before where he's bounced back after a down season. He did that after 2017, bounced back in 2018 with a 297 average, 37 homers as well. Oddly enough, he struggled against right-handed pitching last year. 239 with a 715 OPS in his career, 275 hitter with an 808 OPS. I would expect that to bounce back as well. And if you are a conspiracy theorist, I saw this on Twitter, and I got to give credit where it's due, to Jeff Zimmerman of Rotographs. He pointed out that before the hit by pitch last year, Manny Machado got hit by a pitch like on the wrist or the hand on August 8th. Before then, 272 average, 340 OBP, 494 slug.
That's not a conspiracy theory, man. That's just raw data, baby.
Yeah, after the hit by pitch, 213, 319 OBP, 375 slugs. So the production was way down. We all like the Padres lineup this year with Fernando Tatis and Tommy Pham. I think that Manny Machado, he was someone who was being drafted as a borderline first round pick last year. You get him in like...
For good reason, because every year he's 35 homers, 10 steals, 280 batting average, 80 plus runs, 90 plus RBIs. And even last year he was almost that. The batting average was just lower.
Yeah, I'm expecting the bounce back here for Manny Machado. You're getting him in like the fifth round range right now, which is just crazy to me. And
mid-fifth, I'll take him in the fourth. I'm taking Stanton in the third, Machado in the fourth.
I love it. And if you want to get someone who's durable to pair with Stanton, I think it makes a lot of sense to do it with Manny Machado. I think your projection makes a lot of sense for him. 275 to 280, 35 homers, close to 100 ribbies. He'll chip in, you know, 8 to 10 stolen bases as well. I think it was just a down year, first year in San Diego, first year with that new mega deal as well. Give me all the Manny Machado shares. I don't care how deep the position is at third base. Give me all the Manny Machado shares.
I'll tell you what. I need to correct something because I said I'm taking Stanton in the third every time. That's not true. If Yordan Alvarez is there, I'm taking Yordan Alvarez, and then I'll take Stanton in the fourth. So I don't know. Maybe I'll still be able to get Machado. But if I could go those three, Alvarez, Stanton, Machado in the third, fourth, fifth, dude, I'm winning the championship.
Yeah, you want to talk about someone who might hit 60-plus home runs this year. It's Yordan Alvarez.
And he might bat 340. Like, is this the second version of Albert Pujols?
He might be. I mean, his hit tool, his power, being able to do it against left-handed pitching, against right-handed pitching, he could do it against anybody. Bobby, I'll throw this one back your way. Do you worry about how he struggled in the postseason against the Yankees? He did bounce back a little bit in the World Series. That's really the only argument I've seen against Yordan Alvarez is that teams, quote-unquote, figured him out in the postseason. Is that something that worries you here in 2020?
It's a really good question. And, you know, I think that the reason his ADP is low is because that's what people remember. I mean, how many sample sizes of Mike Trout have we seen where he goes 30 at-bats and he's a subpar player? That's going to happen from time to time. Now, it happened in the spotlight, and so everyone thinks, okay, Yordan Alvarez was a little bit of a joke. It's not 87 games batting .313 with a 27 homers and one of the best OPSs in baseball. It's not a very small sample size. Nobody does that for that long and is not a superstar. He's a superstar, man.
As a 22-year-old, too, which is just insane. An OPS over 1,000 as a rookie. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've got one more thing I want to say about Manny Machado. I'm going to go back to this, okay? Manny Machado has been on crap teams for the last 3 or 4 years. And this is, I'm not a guy who's into narrative street in MLB. Basketball, I'll do it all day long. MLB, it doesn't matter. But for somebody like Manny Machado, who just has so much attitude, you can tell he's out there and he just doesn't care whatsoever when his team sucks. Padres are going to be good this year. I think we're going to see the best version of Manny Machado we've seen in a couple years.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. We saw a couple years ago when he moved over to the Dodgers in that trade. He actually performed really well with them. Even before the trade, he was doing well with the Orioles. But he has performed in the big spotlight before, and I think that he wants that. You know, that's why he wound up signing this big deal. He kind of wants to be there to help turn around the San Diego Padres. And everyone's excited about Fernando Tatis. Again, a borderline first-round pick this upcoming year. You know who's going to be driving him in? It's going to be Manny Machado.
That's right, baby. All right, we went a little bit over an hour, Frank. Not very responsible, but you got me on that, you know, on that rant about the St. Louis Cardinals. So, again, it's your fault, dude.
I'm sorry, man. Again, look, whenever I know to grind the gears of Bobby Sylvester, I'll contact you on Twitter. I'll send you some random Cardinals note or whatever's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know that that's how I'm going to be able to rile you up.
This was a lot of fun, and plus everyone loves the bonus content. Guys, we've got a lot more shows coming up. We're going to kick it up to 3 shows per week, so if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button on Stitcher or Google Podcasts. Go ahead and do that so you don't miss out on any future shows. We've got a lot of other great guests coming on. As always, it was a blast talking to Frank, and if you haven't already, give him a follow on Twitter, @Roto_Frank. I'm @BobbyFantasyPro, and don't forget to check out our cheat sheet creator. You're going to love it at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. That's all for today's show. For Frank Stanfill, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball.